want to just highlight, of course, this is a fantastic conference that we're having today, setting the foundation of the unity that we need to go forward with. But we're also meeting on a day in which there is a meeting, or people meeting in another place that is quite historic, because of course it's a Saturday, and we've not had in 40 years Parliament sit on a Saturday, and of course that is what's been happening today as well. And of course, with Jeremy Corbyn as our leader of the Labour Party, he's been holding to account in Parliament the disastrous Boris Johnson, who seeks to say that he represents us all, but clearly only represents the 1%. And Jeremy, of course, you know, we know, has been the best, most dynamic, anti-racist leader that the Labour Party has ever had. Government, a most radical, transformational socialist government. And of course, therefore, we are delighted that our next speaker reflects the agenda that we want to set for the future. And he has come hot-tailing it from that historic parliament that is met today, holding, of course, Boris and the Tories to account. Our next speaker needs little introduction, but he's been a fantastic champion. The future that we want to see. Our next speaker, Richard Bergen, MP.
Racism for all they do across the country to stand up, as the name suggests, to racism. It couldn't be any more important. We've seen a great rise, unfortunately, in racism. We've seen, as was predicted by Stand Up to Racism and by the people on this platform many years ago, the mainstreaming of racism. What was once considered fringe by parties like the British National Party is no longer on the political fringe. It's in the newspapers again, and it's being spoken by politicians in very powerful positions, both in this country, in the United States of America, in Brazil, and elsewhere. And as Nigel Farage said, in fact, in the address, an alternative for Deutschland event just last month, and his words illustrate this. Once you are able to speak the unspeakable, people will begin to think the unthinkable. And that's what it's about. Those far-right ideas have now taken hold in the corridors of power yet again. But of course, that's nothing new in the history of this country or in the history of the world, as I'll refer to shortly. So we need to oppose racism, but while the far-right threatens the progressive values of all, the rights of women, the rights of the LGBT community, the rights of the working class and all its diversity, at the end of the day, the target of choice of the far-right has been migrants, Muslims and ethnic minority communities. The growth strategy of the far-right is racism. Racism, in fact, is the gateway drug to fascism, and history shows that. And of course, it's about divide and rule. Of course, when the economy isn't serving the interests of the 99%, when people are in great economic difficulty, when opportunities are denied to people, then of course, the rancid ideas of the far right, the rancid racist ideas of the far right have greater potential to take hold. But we've got to be honest. Racism wasn't invented when The referendum took place in 2016. Racism wasn't invented when sadly Donald Trump took power in the White House. People shouldn't forget that it wasn't even the financial crash which gave rise to racism and the far right in this country in recent times. Before the bankers crash, before the financial crash, people shouldn't forget that the BNP, the fascist BNP, got a million votes in an election that took place before the financial crash. And why? Because it's all part of an ideology. It's all part of a system. The othering of other people can help. The othering of minorities and the scapegoating of minorities can help the establishment when economic difficulties are going on. It's a question of divide and rule. But remember, even before the financial crash, Islamophobia, in particular, was being used as a recruiting sergeant to get public support for imperialist wars in the Middle East, and people shouldn't forget that in mind. For example, Muslims at home, then maybe people will be a little less squeamish when military intervention by the United States and its allies, for example, in Iraq, causes the deaths of Muslims and others in Iraq and elsewhere. People look for answers. The elites provide not answers, but scapegoats. People should also be clear. Stephen Yaxley Hyphen Lennon, his stage name Tommy Robinson, because it makes him sound a bit more working class. He is, and his supporters are, useful idiots for the establishment which completely despises them. So we need to make clear that that's their role. As the great indigenous socialist president of Bolivia said, Evo Morales, at the United Nations just last month. He said, the world is being controlled by a mere handful of billionaires that define the political and economic destiny of humankind. 26 people possess the same wealth as 3.8 billion people. That is unjust, that is immoral, that is inadmissible. That system, that unequal system, is maintained not just by war and oppression, but by ideology. And that ideology is well served by racism that divides people and justifies intervention and justifies an international policy which serves to put peace and conflict resolution at its heart. So, we're trying as a movement, all of us, to provide an alternative. I'm proud that we have an anti-racist leader of the Labour Party, and proudly an anti-war leader of the Labour Party. What I can see the attacks on mosques, on synagogues, on people of colour, we can see that more than ever before, we need an anti-racist Prime Minister, an anti-war Prime Minister in Number 10 Downing Street. I've only got a couple of minutes left. I mentioned before the threats to decades of social progress that has been made by the mainstreaming of far-right ideas. Let's be bold and do the right thing. Tommy Robinson and others are not voicing legitimate concerns. They are not voicing legitimate concerns, and we should never cede to them. The far-right concerns are not legitimate concerns. We have the correct strategy as a movement to tackle racism and bring people together. The working class in all its diversity, the 99%. Jeremy Corbyn's leadership must be defended and replicated across Europe. We must draw the right conclusions. The line of some social democrats in Europe has to be to embrace austerity and concede to racism. My promise to you is that under Jeremy Corbyn leadership, we will never embrace austerity and we will never, ever concede to racism. on this. We're not going to be able to work with, stand shoulder to shoulder with, and represent the interests of the working class if, as a movement, we don't understand what the working class is. And when I think of the working class in this country, I think of that famous photo taken just last year, I think, taken of a bus driver who happened to be a woman, who happened to be a Muslim, who happened to be wearing a hijab, who happened to be a trade unionist, as a member of the United Union, who happened to be trying to go about her work, surrounded in that photo, trying to drive the bus, by the faces of the far right, contorted with hatred. I don't need telling, and don't try and tell me, that those snarling faces around that woman represent the working class, or are the working class in our country. Unite the working class, comma, BAME communities and others against racism. Let's take out that comma because it doesn't make sense. It's not working class communities, BAME communities. The reality is that black and minority ethnic communities are not only part of the working class, they're disproportionately part of the working class because the overwhelming ideological parents of Corbynism, Tony Benn. I always remember that he was a member back in the 1950s of the anti-colonial movement. We've got to understand the role racism has played in the history of our country. We've got to understand the role racism has played in the elite building up its wealth in this country since the Industrial Revolution. Would be a compulsory part of the curriculum in countries in schools across our country. People need to understand when you look at the global working class. I mentioned Evo Morales' point about 26 people owning the same wealth as millions and millions and millions of people. The majority of the 99% globally are not white. The majority of the 99% who deserve the world's economy rebalancing in their favour, who've been treated so badly over centuries of oppression and imperialism, they are disproportionately people of colour. And in our international policy, in our domestic policy, with Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister, with Diane Abbott as Home Secretary, and with John McDonnell as Chancellor, we will never forget that. With your help, both domestically and internationally, all of us are going to build a better world. Thank you.